prayer that's been offered and desire continued interest in your prayers this morning. If you'd like to go with us to our text this morning, you'll find it in Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31. If you remember the setting from the book of Jeremiah, you remember God sent Jeremiah and others to warn Israel about their sins, that if they did not repent and return to the Lord, that they would be carried away captive. As a matter of fact, that captivity was specified as being 70 years. That's pretty much a lifetime, isn't it? 70 years. I remember Elder Dolph Painter. Some of you know him. He preached a message one time called the 70-year plan. And he kind of put this in perspective that God had a 70-year plan for Israel. Now, the 70 years was captivity. And so you think about it, that's just about a lifetime. And so there were a lot of people that were going to be carried away captive that would never return. Perhaps a lot of them died in Babylon. And we know from the book of Esther, because that's the setting of the book of Esther, that all of those Jews that were there were those who did not return after the captivity. So we know that there were a lot of people who died. There were a lot of people who did not choose to go back to Jerusalem. Perhaps some of them were very aged and not able to make the trip, whatever the case might be. I suspect a lot of folks had already built their houses and raised their family, and they just decided they weren't going to leave it. But whatever the case might be, because of their sinfulness, God had, as 2 Chronicles comes to an end, it reminds them of how he had sent prophet after prophet, warning them, rising up early in the morning, but he says, till there was no remedy. Now, God is long-suffering. And, you know, I stop and think about it today, with things the way they are in our nation today. And you have to conclude that God is long-suffering. God is merciful, but he's good and gracious. And so we find that as the setting of Jeremiah was, that he warned the people over and over, but they refused to hear until there was no remedy. Then Nebuchadnezzar, there's language in several books of the Bible where it says that God sent the Babylonians to carry them away captive. So there's no question there. This was not just a happening. This was something God sent upon his people. Does that mean God doesn't love them? No. And that's the big point this morning. When they had to suffer the captivity and were in captivity for 70 years, The issue was not that God didn't love them. He did chastise them, and their captivity lasted a long time. But he told them they would return. Now, I've already said some of them didn't, but a lot of them did. And I mentioned the sermon that Elder Dolph Painter described, and he said, you know, a lot of people perhaps that were up in age when they were carried away captivity, perhaps they might have had the temptation to say, well, I'm not going to be around after 70 years, so what's the use in serving God? What's the use in observing the commandments? Well, we observe the commandments of God so that we can enjoy this life that we now have. The reason they were carried away captive into Babylon is because they had not observed the word of God and followed in his ways. And so God was going to chastise them or bring that upon them for their learning. But God loves us. And we'll read a little bit in Jeremiah. I hope you found Jeremiah 31 by now. All right. He's been speaking to them about what he would do. And then he says in chapter 31, "At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin Israel, virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in dances, and of them that make merry." And he goes on to talk about how that they'll return, he's going to bring them back, and they're going to resume life. But again, now this message I mentioned, the reason that Israel needed to be faithful to God, even over in Babylon, was that there were going to be some that would come back. There would be children. There were no doubt children that were carried away into captivity. No doubt there were children that were born there. And they needed to know the ways of the Lord. They needed to be taught in the Word of God and in the way of God so that when the time came for them to come back, they would know how to worship God and how to live their lives in honor and blessing to God for the deliverance that He had given them and bringing them back and restoring their life once again. But God says through Jeremiah, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." You know, when it came time for them to come back to Jerusalem, God worked wondrously. It was no longer the Babylonian kingdom. You know, the Medes and the Persians had taken over by then. And Cyrus was then king. Cyrus the Persian was then king, and God inspired him to do some marvelous things in allowing the people to go back to Jerusalem and do the things that God had told them to do. All right, so historically, we see the fulfillment of God's promise that He loved His people, that He would do good for them. Even though their chastisement lasted a long time, yet He promised to bring them back, and He showed that He was faithful to His promise. You read the book of Daniel, and you'll find over in the latter part of the book of Daniel that he was reading the Word of God, perhaps the book of Jeremiah or the writings of Jeremiah, and he saw by the words and by the letters that the time was drawing near for that captivity to come to a close. And so Daniel prayed a powerful prayer. Go read it. I believe it's Daniel chapter 9. But we find that it shows, the scriptures teach us and show us that God was faithful to His promise. He loved them with an everlasting love. With loving kindness had He drawn them. And so He worked powerfully even through that heathen king in bringing His people back. And He worked marvelously as far as providing materials and providing protection and providing so many things that they needed to rebuild Jerusalem. God showed He was faithful to His promise. But we today can take that same lesson, that same teaching, and see how that God has been faithful to His promise in all times. And even today, we can read those words and say, "Yea, He hath loved us with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have He drawn thee." And with the gospel and understanding of what the gospel tells us, then bless your hearts, we can rejoice in that principle even though it was spoken in the Old Testament, it has its application just as much to us today as it did to Israel of old. Because God's love is the same, His faithfulness is the same, His power is the same. He can work His miracles today just as well as He did back then. What a blessing that is, and a comfort that we can draw each day when we see things around us changing in our culture, in our government, when we see things that perhaps, we think that maybe perhaps someday it's going to be different than it is now. I don't know, but it sure looks like it's headed that way. How about you? And so when we see that, sometimes it would cause us to be tempted to be unsettled. And that's when we need to draw our mind back to the fact that God is the same God who worked His miracles in the past. He can work His miracles today. So, you know, even while Israel was in captivity, God told them, and I believe we've talked about that in recent days, back in Jeremiah 29, the Lord told them they were going to be carried away captive, but He told them what to do in their captivity. And you see, they weren't going to be sitting in a jail cell somewhere and not able to do anything. They weren't going to be in shackles. They weren't going to be in punishment every day. You know, the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, they suffered greatly as slaves for a long, long time. But the Lord told His people what to do over in Babylon. Jeremiah 29. In verse 5, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take ye and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Now, the reason I'm reading these verses is because it has application to us today. Let's just say, for instance, let's just say that we lose a lot of our freedoms and we become under some type of socialism or communism. No doubt Israel had limitations in what they could do, but God told them how to live their lives. Build those houses, plant those gardens, have your families, raise them up, increase and not diminish. He says, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. If things were to change drastically for us, we have what the Lord says how we should live our lives in it. And to a great extent, it won't be any different than it has been. If we'll pray and seek the peace, God will be with us. God will help us. God will provide for us. He knows how to deliver the godly. He's been doing it for a long time. He's been watching over His people for a long time. He can handle the situation. Our trust is not in man. Our trust is not in a system. Our trust is in the Lord. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who's taking care of us anyway. He's the one who deserves all of our praise and adoration and our heart's affection. All right? So Jeremiah's message to Israel, even though they were going to be carried away captive, I have loved thee, God says, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Let's look at this for just a moment. God still loved His people. And in this verse of scripture that I've read to you, he confirms not only his love for his people then, but that also has application for us now. And we can rejoice at that today just as much as they could then. You know, and just look at that. That's not an isolated case. You go back to Egypt, and God heard the groanings of his people in Egypt. And God sent them a deliverer. And boy, don't you like to remember that story of how God blessed Moses when he was born? How he was had to be placed in the river because the king had ordered that all the male children be put to death? And how that God spared his life? And how that story unfolded to where the one woman who took him into her own home and raised him rather than letting him die was probably the only woman in all of Egypt that the Pharaoh would listen to and let her keep the child. Pharaoh's daughter. You know Pharaoh's little girl is going to get what she wants. But that's just the providence of God. God took care of his people in a time when the government was saying that male children had to die. God made a way for his deliverer to be spared and to be raised up and educated and lead his people. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't that a glorious thing that he did in that occasion? Don't you know he can still do the same thing for us today? He can take care of us today. He can deliver us today. He can provide whatever is needed. The variable is the hearts of his people. That's why Israel had to go into captivity, because they turned their backs to God instead of seeking his face. And I don't see that God necessarily judges by nations today. When Jesus said that, therefore, when he told those Jews, he says, therefore shall the kingdom be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. That is kingdom fruits. He said the nation would be taken away from the Jews and given to a nation. Well, now, wait a minute. What kind of a nation is that? You know, a nation of people are people that have a common birth, right? Well, this nation that he's talking about, that the kingdom would be given to after it was taken from the Jews, are those with a common birth, those that are born again, those who are believers. That's who has the kingdom today. Doesn't matter if we're American or Russian or Chinese or whatever. Those of God's people born again, they are this nation that has the kingdom of God today. And the Bible tells us we need to be pressing into that kingdom. And the more we personally press into that kingdom, the more of that kingdom we will enjoy. But even today, we can neglect it, can't we? And so we find that God says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. In Matthew 23. You know, we mentioned how that 2 Chronicles ends up by saying that this captivity happened when there was no remedy. And so the long-suffering of God again was manifested in when Jesus came preaching the gospel. In the interest of time, I just want to begin to in verse 36. Matthew 23, verse 36. Verily I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Sounds like to me the very same thing that happened at the end of 2 Chronicles. And so the next statement that Jesus makes is, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The kingdom was taken from the Jews and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And that nation, not the United States of America, not some other geographical nation, it's the nation of believers. God deals with us as individual believers today. Now, granted, churches, we can be blessed as churches when we join together in praise and adoration to the Lord, and we honor Him with the things that we do. But in our individual lives, we can also be blessed of Him in a great way just by pressing into the kingdom as individuals. All right? So, God's promises. When we read the scriptures today, when thinking about how things have happened in the past, how sweet it is to know that God watches over us today, that His love is still the same today. I mean, what if salvation depended upon how much we loved the Lord? Now, granted, if we're saved by the grace of God, then we need to be showing that love each day. It's a joy and a privilege that God has loved us first, and we get to respond and return that love to Him and walk in paths of righteousness each day and enjoy the blessings of God's love. How blessed that is. But sometimes God's people can get distracted and get so wrapped up in the things of this world that they're not doing much in the way of expressing their love for God. That's what we need to guard against. All right, so as individuals, His love is there. His love is based upon the perfect obedience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His Son, and we trust as our Redeemer. And we rejoice to know that Jesus died in our room instead, that He put away all of our sins, and our standing before God is for Jesus' sake, and not just for our righteousness. Now, our fellowship on a daily basis is greatly impacted by what we do. But bless your hearts, that relationship we have by the choice of God and by the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to save us from our sins. So the Lord said through Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And so when we read the scriptures and we get to the last part of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, where he says, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell you, when we read that verse and know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ, that ought to cause us to rejoice every time we think about it. That yes, indeed, that's further evidence that His love is an everlasting love, that we cannot be separated from that love. When He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, like Ephesians 1 and 4 tells us, that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. I tell you, you read those verses, Ephesians chapter 1, and it ought to make your heart swell with love and thanksgiving for the love that God has for us. You see, we could never do that. We could never make ourselves holy and without blame before Him in love. We couldn't do that. And God knew that. And He already loved us. And so He did what was necessary so that we could be holy and without blame before Him in love. And He did that by sending His Son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, what if He had said that He offered His only begotten Son? And it was up to you to make that choice, or you're going to burn in hell forever. A lot of people are being taught that. But that's not what the Bible said. Before we had our being, before we existed naturally, physically, we existed in the mind and purpose and love of God. That's what the Bible says. Read Romans chapter 8. Read Ephesians 1. Read 1 Peter chapter 1. Read those scriptures. That's the plain teaching of the Word of God. God loved us with an everlasting love. And we can never be separated from it. Now, does that mean we're always going to be obedient? No. Because we've got this old flesh nature. We have to deal with this old flesh on a daily basis. But the more we feed the Spirit, and the less we feed the flesh, the better off we're going to be. You know that old story the Indians used to tell about, in every person there's two wolves, a good one and a bad one. And the young boy asked his, whoever was teaching him that, said, well, which one's going to be stronger? And the teaching of that was, whichever one you feed the most. Now, there's some limitations to that story, but there's a good principle there. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The more you get entangled with the things of this world, the farther from God you'll get. The more we hold on tight and stay close to the Lord, bless your hearts, the better off we'll be. And so, He's loved us with an everlasting love. And He's shown it. He proved that to us by sending His Son, not offering His Son. His Son offered Himself to the Father for all of our sins, because that's what the Father sent Him to do. But you remember John chapter 6, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that Thou hast given me, not offered, but given, I should lose how many?
Nothing.
But raise it up again at the last day. That verse, or those verses, you know, have such a powerful statement, and they're so comprehensive in the purpose of God in sending His Son, in who Jesus saved, how secure they are in it, and the fact that we'll live with Him in glory because of what Jesus did and not because of us. You know, we may stray from the path in this life, and we may lose the joy of our salvation. But bless your hearts, we'll never fall out of that relationship that we have, because God chose us in Christ, saved us by Jesus' blood. Jesus is going to call us from the grave someday. Remember John chapter 5? When He speaks of regeneration in chapter 5:25, and then a few verses later, He says the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. It's the voice of the Son of God that's going to call us out of the grave. All right? So when we think about then, His love is an everlasting love. And we could stay on that all day, couldn't we? He loved us. He chose us. He sent His Son. Listen, I didn't deal much with John 3:16. God so loved the world. What world? Was that all, everybody without exception? No, that word world there is cosmos, which means an orderly arrangement. Okay? It's kind of like sometimes you encounter the word all. You have to look at the context and see if it's one of those all-inclusive alls or if it's all under consideration. You know, like the conductor on the train. You know, not too many people travel by train anymore, but you probably have heard and remember people used to have, they used to have passenger trains, and there would be, they'd have to buy a ticket just like you would an airplane flight. The conductor would announce when the train was about to leave, he'd say, all aboard. What does that mean, everybody in town? No, it means everybody's got a ticket. That all is limited. Well, when he says, God so loved the world, we have to understand what world is under consideration. Jesus, in 1 John, you read that that John tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Well, wait a minute. If God so loved it, and then the Word of God later says, love not the world, that must be a different world. Can't be the same, because God's Word is consistent. All right? In John 17, when Jesus is offering up the high priestly prayer unto God before he would be arrested in the garden and taken and tried and crucified, he's praying to the Father. And he says, I pray not for the world, but for those which thou hast given me. For thine they are. He goes on from there. I'm losing the rest of that verse. But the point is, Jesus said, I pray not for the world. See, those kind of verses teaches us that we have to understand what world is under consideration when you look at John 3:16. There's so many in the world today, the world at large, that would take that verse and say, well, it means everybody. God loved everybody. Haven't you heard that? God loves everybody. Well, the God I serve, if he loved everybody, everybody would be saved. Because he's able to save everyone he loves. All right, well, I'm getting off track. We have to understand the world. And that world, that orderly arrangement, are those that he had given to Christ to save, those that Jesus died for, those that he's coming back to gather up and take home to be with him forever. That's the world God loves. And so, God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't offer, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I assure you that everyone who truly believes in him will be saved. Not one will be lost. All right? So, the love, the everlasting love that God has for his people. It was true then when it was spoken through Jeremiah. It's true today. It'll always be true because it is the truth of God's word. After that, he says, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That gives us the principle that God takes the first step. Man is dead in trespasses and sins. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? When Adam sinned and all his posterity was plunged into sin, separated from God, incapable of reconciling himself to God, okay, we're dead in trespasses and sins. That means something, someone has to give us life. In order for us to respond to the things of the Spirit. We have the natural life, but we need spiritual life. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Do you see the kingdom of God today? Can you tell, do you understand that Jesus is upon his throne, that he's the king of this kingdom, that he's the king of kings and lord of lords? If you can see that, if you can perceive that, if you understand that, you are born again. And it had to happen before you could see it. That's the point. Like Brother Jeff Winfrey says, the dead don't do. Those that are dead in trespasses and sins cannot do anything spiritually until God reaches down to us and causes us to be born of his Spirit. Then we can see the kingdom of God. Then we can taste that he's gracious. Then we can hear the gospel and rejoice in it. The unregenerate, or those that are not born of the Spirit, they might hear the natural sound of the gospel, but they don't understand it. They don't see it. And so, he sends his Spirit to cause us to be born again. All right? Now, when we understand Therefore, with loving kindness, he says, have I drawn thee. What I tried to do just now was to establish the principle that God has to take the first step. It's not a matter of God having voted for you and the devil voted for you and you got to break the tie. It's a matter of whether or not God has reached down to you. In John, I'll go back to John again. In John chapter 6, verse 44, John 6, 44, Jesus makes this statement. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. What's that say? It's plain enough, isn't it? Until God draws us unto himself. He does that in regeneration. Until he draws us unto himself, we can't come to God.
That's right.
No man cometh unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I love that word draw. And I'm sure you've heard it. If you've grown up in the Old Baptist Church, you've heard it a lot of times. We got to come up with a new, well, there's other ways to express it, but the one I grew up hearing was people used to have a well of water, and they'd have a bucket and a rope, and you'd let the bucket down into the well to fill it up with water, and then you would turn the crank or pull the rope or whatever to draw the water out of the well. Now, could you have just said, water, come here. Accept my offer and come. That wouldn't work. Because that water is passive. It's not active in this. All right? Until God draws us. He's the one that's active. We're passive in it.
That's right.
Until he gives us life, we cannot respond to the gospel call. We cannot respond to the paths of righteousness. We don't have the spiritual faculties to do it until God gives us life. And that life comes, John 5:25. Verily I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead in trespasses and sins, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's regeneration. That's immediate Holy Spirit regeneration from the life-giving voice of the Son of God. And when we hear it, we live. Every time. Because it's irresistible calling. When God calls, it's irresistible. The preacher can call all day long, and they may or may not come. But when God calls, we answer. We answer that call. All right? Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It was true in the Old Testament where God worked among the different ones in bringing his people back. And it works gospelly as far as God sending his spirit into our hearts. Now, when I say gospel, I'm not saying when the preacher preaches it and you hear it. We don't believe in gospel regeneration. We believe in God sending his spirit when it pleases him. Then the gospel can have its impact. All right? Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Because of his love for his people, he will take care of us. Because his love is everlasting. All right? The scriptures speak of his love being by covenant. If you go back to Genesis chapter 15, chapter 17, you'll find God made a covenant with Abram. He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. God made his promise to Abraham. God kept his promise to Abraham. in Hebrews chapter 13, New Testament, gospelly speaking, the writer of Hebrews tells us, verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That tells us that God had a covenant, that Jesus entered into that covenant with him, that God purposed to save his people, that Jesus would be the one, the Word would be made flesh and dwell among us, and he would be the one who would shed his precious blood to save us from our sins. That everlasting covenant, that's been in place from before the foundation of the world. That's why when he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that was part of that covenant. All right, so God has chosen us in Christ. He sent his Son to save us. Nothing can separate us from his love. Now, that covenant is made vital to us when he gives us spiritual life. He could have done this and never told us about it. But when he sends his Spirit in our heart and quickens us and blesses us to be able to hear the gospel of our salvation, then bless your hearts, we're made to know of God's promise and we're made to feel his love. And so when I quoted John 6:44, by the way, let me go to John 6:44 real quick here. John 6. John 6 is a very special chapter. I just want to grab a few verses here. Let me go back to verse 39. I quoted it earlier. And John 6:39. "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Did you hear that? All of this will result in Jesus raising us up again at the last day. Verse 40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Do you hear a theme here? How about verse 54? "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood," he's not speaking literally, but those that can partake of his person and his work. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 65, "Therefore I said unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father." God loves us in covenant that he entered into with his Son and the Holy Spirit. These things will be performed. He sends his Spirit to our heart and makes us aware of it. We become alive to the things of the Spirit. We find in his Word, when we study his Word, the doctrine of it, we find that God has been long-suffering with his people, that he gives us grace daily. Remember when Israel was in Egypt, he told Abraham, even before Abraham had a family, before there was a nation of Israel, God told Abraham that thy seed shall be in a land that's not theirs for 400 years. And after that, that he would bring them out unto the land that he would show them. All right? So we find God showing that he's going to be merciful to his people eventually. We find the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, when they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, the manna fell every day. God showed his mercy. Even in times when they rebelled, even though times when they were murmuring and complaining, the manna still fell every day. God has been showing us his love and his mercy for us all down through time. And even today, Jesus said in a little while, let's see, John chapter 14, verse 19, a little while and you see me no more, but ye see me. And he said, because I live, ye shall live also. We have a promise from Jesus that because he lives, we shall live also. Because he's going to raise us up at the last day. Because he's coming back to get us. Remember, he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, that's John 14 as well. That where I am, there ye may be also. Why does he say that? Because he loves us. Because we'll never be separated from him. Because his love is an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness will he draw us. He draws us unto himself. Here in time, in regeneration, but there are many times, and he shows us his love every day. He daily loadeth us. Psalm 68, verse 19, he daily loadeth us with benefits. He shows us, we may not see it, we may not take note of it, but he shows us his love every day. He daily loadeth us. That's the truth of his word. He daily loadeth us with benefits. You don't have to go looking for oxygen, do you? I don't see anybody here that's on an oxygen that has to carry a tank with you. So you're breathing. Sun's shining. We got a good environment to live in. Okay? There's so many things that he loads us with benefits each day. But I think that extends beyond the natural blessings. I believe that that also shows, he shows us tokens of his affection every day. There have been times, perhaps you've experienced this, I suspect you have, there have been times when you almost were in an accident. Maybe God had mercy on you. I think we need to look at it that way and say, thank you, Lord. It could have been a lot worse. Lots of things that we can thank God for every day. Obviously, there's things that happen that we don't enjoy, but there's plenty of things that God provides for us each day for which we should be thankful and praise his holy name. Because even if we can't see a blessing in our day, if we understand that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that Jesus died to save us from our sins, that nothing can separate us from his love which is in Christ Jesus, he's coming back to get us and nobody's going to keep him from it, then bless your heart, you've got plenty to rejoice about every day. Because nothing is going to change about that. Yeah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So I like to close this thought with what you find in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wow. Those are good words to remember, aren't they? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Brethren, it was good for Israel back then. It's good for us today to remember the promises of God. Remember the power of God. Remember the love of God. Remember his long suffering. Remember our eternal security in the blood of Christ. Remember what we have in the Lord. So that we may boldly say, See, when we forget those things and we leave those things off, we're not thinking along those lines. But when we're remembering the presence, and the power, and the blessings of God, then we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He's loved us with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness has he drawn us. May God bless you is our prayer.